and then they had paper and pencils, and we had to copy it out, you know, copy it out. But that was fun. We started every morning singing to the Lord in German and English, and, you know, ich kann dich schwätze, kannst du verstehen, was ich wissen soll? And they would try to talk about me in their, you know, it's like German Ebonics, what they speak, amen? And so, but that was a blessing, brought back a lot of memories. All right, well, this morning, I'm going to continue on this theme of idolatry. And let's look at the passage, and look at verse 7. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. God is the one that delivered them out of slavery. God brought them out of Egypt. He was the one that was more powerful than Pharaoh and all the demonic entities of Egypt. He destroyed them, and then he destroyed the gods of the land and removed them out. They had no power against God. But what happens is they came out and they began to fear other gods. And it says in verse 9, they did secretly those things which were not right against their God. Idolatry is very subtle, and you know that you're getting into it when you begin to do things in secret. Secretly, there's secret thoughts, there's secret affections, there's deeds that are hidden. It says in verse 11, they burnt incense in all the high places as the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. You know what makes the Lord angry? When you put your trust in something other than God. And they did that. It says in verse 12, they served idols. They served them. They worshiped them. They sacrificed to them. It says in verse 14, notwithstanding, they would not hear when the prophets came and told them what they were doing, but hardened their necks, likened in the necks of the fathers, and they did not believe in the Lord their God. That's key. What is the reason people serve idols is because they do not believe in God. They don't believe that God can provide. They don't believe that God can protect. In verse 15, this is key. They rejected his statutes. In verse 16, they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and look what happens after they leave and they reject. And they made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served Baal. Verse 18, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. So if you look at the history of the Old Testament, you know what you will find? You will find a very sad history. You will read of starvation. You will read of death. You will read of misery. You will read of enslavement. And it's heartbreaking to read, isn't it? And you know what the problem was? Is they, for a time, would trust God, and then they would go into idolatry. And it was just this cycle that would happen over and over. And from the start, from the very beginning, he said, when you go there, don't do this. Or just like they were removed, you will be removed. Just like they had trouble, you will have trouble. Do not do this. When he gave the Ten Commandments, the first commandments, they deal with idolatry. Do not have any other gods before me. Do not make any graven image and bow down and worship it. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. You know what that means? I'm a Christian. but I really trust idols. I am God's people. I am Israel. I am a Jew. But secretly, I have this shrine set up, and I'm looking to this false god to provide something for me that only God can provide. You know what? You have to remember this, that what an idol is, what it was, is it was a concrete manifestation of what they really wanted, that they didn't think they could go. Look, they didn't love Baal. They wanted rain. They didn't love Baal. They wanted good crops. They didn't love Ashtaroth and Chemosh. They loved pleasure. That's what happened. They loved those things, and that was just a concrete manifestation of what they really loved and what they really wanted. And you know what an idol is in our hearts? An idol is in our hearts, and the reason it gets complicated is because it's very easy to see if you would go to India or you would go to China, it would be very easy to see idolatry. There's the monkey god, and there's a million other gods that they serve. And if they want money, they serve this god. And if they want pleasure, they serve this god. And they sacrifice to this god and that god. And it's a transactional relationship. It's like Catholicism. There's a god for everything. San Antonio, Saint Anthony, he's the god or the demon of lost things. So if you lose your keys, what do you do? I told my wife, I said, you move to San Antonio to mess up St. Anthony because he can't even help you. You lose everything. Amen? But what is it? That's a transactional relationship, and that is getting something. Okay? Now, what is the problem? Christians do the same thing with God. They take Baal out, and they put God there, and they say, if I do this for God, then He'll give me this. If I do this for God, then I'll do this. But God is just a manifestation of their desire, and they're not really worshiping and serving God. And so the passage continues here, and if you will look down there in verse 33, they feared the Lord and served their own God. I know that God is all-powerful. I know that God is in charge. I know that God is the king. Okay? And I better mind my P's and Q's or He'll get me. But really, my service and my love and my hope goes to these other things. Do you see that? And it says, unto this day they do after their former manner. And here's the Lord saying, you really don't fear God. They thought they did, but they did not. Look at verse 36. The Lord says, listen, the Lord your God only, Him shall you fear, and shall you worship, and to Him shall you do sacrifice. And so, what happens at verse 40, they did not listen, but they did after the former manners. And then look at this in verse 41. So these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. What did they try to do? They tried to do both. They tried to do both. So how did that look? Well, we got to keep the temple open. Okay? We got to keep the priesthood going. We have to keep the altar going. We have to keep bringing incense. We have to keep up this thing, because if not, God will be mad at us. And so they go to the temple. They bring their sacrifice, they honor God with their lips, and they're like, oh man, phew, glad that's over. All right, it's over, let's go. And then they go, and then they're like, oh, I can't wait to get to the car and turn on the radio and do all this other stuff because I did my part. But you know what the problem is? Is they really didn't love God. They really didn't want to serve God. They really loved pleasure, and they loved money, and they loved crops. And so even though they did that to keep up the facade, that's not where their heart was. And that's idolatry. So let me ask you. Let me ask me. Let me ask Isaiah. Are we like them? Do we fear the Lord, but then serve idols and serve our God? You say, well, what is idolatry? Idolatry is when I know that God is the provider of rain, but I'm like, you know, maybe I should have a backup plan. And maybe if I really want rain, and I really want provision, and I really want crops, and I really want pleasure, and I really want fulfillment, then I don't really believe that God can give these things to me. So I'm going to look to something else to give me what only God can give me. Idolatry is anything that you hope in more than God. Idolatry is anything that you trust in more to God. Idolatry is anything that you can't live without. Idolatry is anything that controls your happiness and your emotions and your anger and that regulates that. That's idolatry. And it can be a material thing. It can be a substance. It can be a person. It can be a carrot. It can be anything. But you look and you hope and you trust in that thing to give you what only God can give you. And what is the problem? Revelation 4:11 is one of the best verses in the Bible, but it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory." What is glory? You know, when you put an athlete there and he did a good job and you hang a gold medal on his neck, you know what that is? That is for his glory. That is for his honor. That is for the high honor for notable achievement. The Lord is worthy to receive glory. And you know what that means? My purpose in life is to make much of God. And he said, "To glory and honor and pleasure. For thou hast created," God created me. And you know what I should live for, and what you should live for, and what the Israelites should have lived for, is they should have lived to fulfill God's pleasure and God's desire. But Christians, many of them do not do that. They don't live to hang a medal on the neck of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't live to put a crown on his head. They don't live to think, what are God's desires and how can I fulfill those desires? Idolatry is, what are my desires and how do I fulfill those desires? And so they tried to do both. And as a result, you know what happened is they had a lot of pain. They had a lot of sorrow. And I talked a little bit about on this on Wednesday night, and it was probably too raw at that point, but studying the subject in the Bible and looking back over my life, I can see points of unbelievable pain. I can look at my family of origin, my childhood family, my father, my mother, my siblings. I can see pain. I can see ongoing pain. I can look over the ministry, and some of you have been here with those points of pain. And you know what I recognized? Most of the pain that I've experienced in my life, that my father experienced, that my family experienced, was avoidable. And it was all due to subtle idolatry that I refused to recognize, that I refused to take a hard look at. And I was just overcome with, I just started weeping when I looked at that pain. And I believe I'm healed from that pain. But I realized that's not what God wanted. That's not what it was supposed to be like. God didn't want that. But I went after something other than God. I tried to find happiness. I tried to find fulfillment outside of God. And God will never let that happen. He won't let it happen. Because then you'll think that that is the answer. And you know, God created me in such a way, I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 16. God created me in such a way that if I'm in a room full of people, many of you know this about me and you hate it about me, okay? But if I'm in a room full of people, and there's somebody that's upset. Is this true, Isaiah? And you know what I say? I say, what's wrong? And they're like, oh, nothing. I'm like, no, really, what's wrong? Nothing. I said, no, something is wrong. I can tell something's wrong. And it's either this, this, or this. What's wrong? Okay, because I have a difficult time being okay if you're not okay. That's kind of how God made me and how I use my gifts and also how I make people angry. It's a blessing, right? And so I'm that way. But you know what I've learned is have you ever met people that just get in dark moods? And man, something happens and they go in their room and maybe you're like this. And you slam the door. You're in there, you're brooding. And the kids are like, can we be happy? No! Can we be okay? Is it me? Is it you? Well, don't ask because they'll say it's you, but it's not. And they'll go in there and they'll go through this thing for a while. And when they get exhausted and tired, they'll just kind of give up and come out. And it will go over and over and over again. And so that is here in the Bible. And I want to show you what happens with this connected to that idea of idolatry. So look at 1 Kings chapter 16. And it says this in verse 16. We'll look at verse 14. A person like that in the Bible was Saul. And it says this, and here's the problem from the start. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Now, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Okay? But the same thing can happen to us, not that the Spirit of God departs, but that he's grieved and he's quenched and you stop him from producing the joy and the happiness and the long-suffering and the patience. You grieve him, and he can't operate. Well, in the Old Testament, he's like, I'm out of here. This is, okay? And why did that happen in Saul's life? Rebellion. Rejection of God. Disobedience. Doing what Saul wanted to do instead of what God wanted Saul to do. But look at it very carefully. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Now, man is not a vacuum. Either the Spirit of God's going to be operating in your life, either you're worshiping God, or you're worshiping something else. And so look at this. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, a lot of people have problems with this because they read it this way. And a demon came to him and God sent the demon. That's not what it says. An evil spirit, you know the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. In other words, serve God while you can, before you get old and irritated about everything, and the daughters of music are brought low, and you don't like music, and the cricket is a burden, and you hear the cricket going, and now your life's mission is to find this cricket and kill it, and there's nothing worse than the cricket, and you're afraid of that which is high. You don't want to get on the ladder. You might get hurt. That's when age takes over, and the Bible calls that the evil day. In other words, that's kind of bad. But that doesn't mean they're evil. It's bad, okay? And spirit, well, that doesn't have to be a demon. It can be, this man had a good spirit. This man had a good attitude. This man had a bad spirit. He had a bad, we would say, a bad attitude. And whenever God is not ministering, we have bad attitudes. Is that true? Whenever God is not ministering, we're selfish and we're angry and we brood and it becomes dark and we run in the room and slam the door. And I'm not talking about depression that comes from body weakness. I'm talking about spiritual that has to do with emotions and anger. Not just, I just feel bad, and I don't know why, there's something wrong with my body. I'm talking about the spiritual wrestling and this war and this brooding that was going on with Saul. And Saul's servants said unto him, behold, an evil spirit from the Lord troubleth thee. When, look, if you're not following God, he is not going to minister. You're going to sense a hunger, and you're going to sense a need and a bad attitude. And why? I need God. I need God. I need to get God back in my life. I need to get God working and God ministering. But they chose a different solution. Look at the solution they come up with in verse 16. It says, we need to find somebody that's a good harp player. And it'll come to pass when he's depressed that this harp player will play with his hands and you'll be good. You just need to listen to some music. Look at verse 17, and Saul says, yeah, that's the answer. Not I need God, but put on the radio. I just need to get my worship on, right? I just need to get and listen to music, and that's the answer. It'll make me feel better, and it does. God designed it that way. And so verse 21, they go get Saul, and David came unto Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. Why did he love him? This is the person that's going to make me feel better. This is the answer. This is how I stop being depressed. And he said, verse 22, let David stand before me. Verse 23, look, and it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took a harp and he played it with his hand. Look what happened. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit, the depression, departed from him. Did it fix the problem or was it temporary? Did it fix the problem or was it temporary? What happened? Saul would brood again. And the broodings became worse and worse. The anger and the depression and the bad mood got worse and worse. And it turned into jealousy. And the very man that he loved, now he's throwing javelins at and he wants to kill. The answer is not something from the outside. The answer is God. And what happens is now the person he loved, now the person he looked to for the answer, that idolatry, he hated him. Do you see that in relationships? Here's a man, I feel bad about myself. Nobody loves me. Oh, wow, she loves me. My dad never spent time with me. Nobody ever appreciated me. He appreciates me. And it works temporarily. And then what happens? They're not making me feel good anymore. They're the problem. And so you start throwing javelins at them. I would be happy if you didn't leave your socks in the living room, you know? I would be happy if you didn't... Isn't that what people do? That's what Saul did. And it became murderous intent. And he started speaking ill to his son and he became paranoid. And it led to despair. And it ended with going into witchcraft. And it ended in suicide. Why? Idolatry cannot. You cannot find what you need emotionally or spiritually outside of God. You cannot. You can find this temporary thing, but you cannot find it outside of God. So what do we need to do? We have to destroy those idols. You know, it says in Isaiah 2 that when the Lord comes back in verse 18 through 20, and the glory of His majesty is revealed, when He rises to shake terribly the earth, they will take their idols and they will cast them to the moles and to the bats. When God shows up in our life and we get God to show up in our life and we're living for Him, and when God is so big that only His pleasure matters, and only what God matters and what He wants and His desires, what matters. And He is so holy. And get it away. Get it away. I don't want this. I want God. You'll destroy those things. When Moses came down from the mountain, he saw two calves. They wanted a visible representation of God. They wanted something they could see and they could touch, and they could feel. They wanted an instant sensory experience that instantly alleviated their pain, their need. But it was temporary and it would have to be repeated endlessly over and over, more and more. And you know what Moses did? He took it and he ground it to powder and he burnt it and he threw it in the brook and got rid of it. Isaiah 41 is a famous passage about idolatry. He said, you know what the carpenter does? He takes a piece of wood and he cuts it and he fashions a god out of it. And then he takes the remnant, like the other six that he didn't use after he carved his god. He's like, what am I going to do with that? Oh, I'll start a fire. He's like, oh, now I'm warm. I've seen the fire. And he'll roast flesh over it. And then with the residue, he'll fall down and worship and say, you are my God. And he said he doesn't know, he doesn't consider that maybe the wood can provide heat. Maybe the wood can provide light. Maybe it can cook your food. But it can do nothing for the needs of your soul. It's limited to those three. So you know what he does? He feeds on ashes. You know what happens if you eat ashes? Nothing good. There's no nutrition in it. You get constipated. It sucks all the moisture out of your system. There's poisons in it. It leads to liver toxicity and all of these problems. Why? Because you're feeding on something that can't even give life to your flesh. And so what is the answer? God's the answer. You know what you and I have to do? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We have to become worshipers of God. We have to become worshipers of God. Paul said to the Galatians, he said, what happened to you guys? Before you knew the Lord, you were serving these things which are no gods. They're nothing. They cannot provide for you. He said, how is it that after you know God, you turn again to these weak and beggarly elements? How many of you are saved? How many of us are born again? I'm saved. How in the world did I know that God was the answer? And then I turned to one to other things and I said, maybe this is the answer. Maybe it's the right amount of vitamin C. Well, that might be good for my body, but it's limited to that. How did we do that? When Paul shows up in Ephesians, you know what the first thing he says? These are no gods. He uses the phrase, no gods. And they get mad. And they start protecting their idol. You have to prop it up. You have to protect it. You have to hide it and conceal it and protect it and put it up there. And when it falls down, you got to put it back up. But when he said there are no gods, it set people free. It changed their work. Changed their life. It changed their town. And real change started happening. Listen, when you get God, real change starts happening. Real change starts happening. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. And so here's this picture again, okay, to explain what happened. So put up the picture. Okay, and so there's the heart, right? We went over that last week. Sin comes out of the heart, right? And then there's all these things coming at us from the world. The temptation, people treating you wrong, okay? And then you react to what's coming at you and what's coming out of you. And just, if you just imagine your heart with all these like hands reaching out, trying to grab things, right? And so your heart wants to, you know, be important, be respected. Someone disrespects you, right? And what is the reaction? How do you react to that? Is it with anger? Or is it in a biblical way? Okay? And what determines how we react to what's coming out of us? Listen, if you have desires coming out of you that you cannot fulfill in God, you have to ask God to kill those desires. And the Bible says that, I don't have time to turn to all these verses, I have hundreds of them, but it says in Colossians 3, it says to set your affection on things above. So if I have something in my heart that I want, that God doesn't want me to have, I have to love God more and say, God, kill that desire and replace it with your desire. That's how I react to what's coming out of me. If I have something coming out of me and I want peace, I can find that in God. I have good desires and bad desires coming out. The bad desires have to be killed, and the good desires have to be fulfilled in God. And then what is coming at me, how am I going to react to that? Because the heart reaches out and it connects. Okay? And somebody's mad, maybe it will connect to anger or bitterness, or then it'll medicate it with alcohol or whatever. But it's those two things and that reaction. And so what do? We have to become a worshiper of God. We have to realize that God is the answer. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:34 and 31. And this verse is so simple. So simple, but so profound. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. 33, he says, I, not seeking my own profit. Now, what was happening? Is they knew that an idol was nothing, and what was offered to idols were nothing because there was no idol, there was nothing. But he said, you might be invited to go to a feast. And the heathen will have brought this cow to sacrifice to this false god, and now you find a big ribeye on your plate. And he said, one place, if you eat it, you're not better. And if you eat it, you're not worse. It's just meat. It can't do anything spiritually for you. It can't do anything emotionally for you. It's just there to feel for the body. But he said, how you make the decision. Imagine you're sitting there at this banquet table. There's a big, juicy ribeye on your plate. And it's cooked perfectly. And the juices are flowing. There's a big slab of butter, garlic on it. And it's cooked perfect. There's a knife and a fork. He said, how you make that decision, whatever you do it for the glory of God. I want to please God. And that's how you deal with that root level of idolatry. Whatever decision I have to make, is this what pleases God? Is this what glorifies God? Is this attitude? Is this action? Is this decision, the problem is, we don't really fear God. The problem is back to the original thing, they feared the Lord and served idols. But when God is everything, that's how you make that decision. And if you don't live that way, you're choosing a life of pain. You're choosing a life of pain. Set your affections on things above. I'm going to have the piano player come. And I want you to examine your heart, because this is so subtle. And we may find ourselves fearing God, but clinging to idols. So is there anything in your life that you love more than God? Is there anyone or any person that you feel like if that was taken, if something happened to me, then I just could not go on? Are you looking for satisfaction or purpose outside of God? And it can be desires, ambition, relationships, but they cannot fulfill the deep needs of your soul. They give you temporary relief, but there's a cycle of dissatisfaction. But I'm telling you, there's hope. God fills your deepest needs. So we'll bow our heads and close our eyes. And I want to invite you, if you, Lord spoke to your heart, to come to this altar and ask God to help you identify those things. Is there anything that controls your happiness, your attitude? Are we one of those people that we brood? We get in bad moods and we treat those around us